gute Woche. Wir haben Peres Halbobes, Schaar und Tochen. Perek Dali, der fourth Perek. In the paragraph that starts, Vyeshmi Bnei Adam. Vyeshmi Bnei Adam. Okay. We're just rounding out the discussion on money, the attitude, the approach toward having extra money, more money that you need. That's what we've been discussing the last couple of weeks. So had an intricate discussion these last 2-3 weeks. Now he's kind of addressing a side point now. The paragraph that starts, Vyeshmi Bnei Adam.
The bottom of 4:12.
The bottom of 4:12 in English, thank you. Vyeshmi Bnei Adam Kitos. There are groups of people. There's another type of people who are after a lot of money. She'enam mishtadlim liknos hamama. Meaning, up to now he was talking about pursuit of money in terms of hishtadlus. Where is it right? Where is it wrong? But it was about money because you want money, because you feel more secure with money. You want more luxuries. Now he's addressing another aspect of pursuit of money. There are people she'ena mishtadlim liknois hamamon ulaharbois mimenu, that they're also pursuing money and turning that into a life pursuit, but for a different reason. Simply because of prestige, social standing. Shame. And they want to have a name. Wealthy, successful people. Now this is already beyond. You have people who are pursuing money because they're nervous, because they want more luxuries. But there's a limit to that. But when a person is pursuing money because of the standing that it brings, then there's simply no end to it. They'll never have enough. It's an endless pursuit. But there's always more and there's always more. V'zeh sichlus mehem, v'sibas hakovod bo'ilam hazeh bo'ilam haba. He's saying this really is a failure in another area. This is not really this part of the discussion of hishtadlus. This is more about the discussion of kavod, of seeking recognition, of seeking a standing. And okay, this is that failure. This is not really about right or wrong hishtadlus. The goyim lahem zeh, what causes this is ma'ashevayim mikvoid am ha'aretz la'anshei ha'mamon. He says, because of the fact that you see the masses honoring people who have money. So you want to gain the honor, the recognition of the masses. He says the ignorant masses. Oh, thank you. Of the ignorant masses. And he says, not really. Much of that honor is simply about l'chamda ma'sheyesh etzlam. People will butter up the rich people that they know simply because they like to get some of it. And maybe if I'm a good friend of his, he'll take me on vacation with him. They like to get gifts from him, etc. So they're saying the whole thing is a farce. You want people to look up to you, but the whole looking up is really just something very artificial. It's not that they're looking up, it's that they're willing to make the show because they hope maybe you'll share some with them. Now, Vili Skilu, he says, so this is, we're talking about ignorance and superficiality on all sides. First of all, meaning now we mentioned the fact that the masses will butter up the people with money. So he now addresses the masses. These people think that if I get myself close to a wealthy person, if I get myself I'm part of his circle, so maybe I'll benefit from his wealth. So he says, V'ilus, kilus, so this does come back to this issue of hishtadlus and bitachon. In terms of the people, this attitude of looking up to the wealthy. So if they would really understand it properly, they'd understand, ki ein b'yicholtam v'loy b'koycham, loy loses v'loy limnoya. He says you have to realize that the wealthy, they actually don't have the ability to give anything to anybody or to withhold anything from anybody. As we discussed, Hashem uses wealthy people as conduits, as a means of getting money where he wants it to go. But so this really just comes back to misplaced hishtadlus, when a person feels like, if I can get myself rich friends, then you know I'll gain the benefit of their friendship in the monetary sense. So he says, if people would have that proper perspective and understand that all the money is meant to go where it goes, you're supposed to get it where you're supposed to get it from, and the money, extra money that he's being given, Hashem has it earmarked, like we've been discussing these last couple of weeks.
Well, maybe it's earmarked for me.
Oh, that's right. So this is exactly the point. If it's earmarked for you, it doesn't depend on buttering him up.
Oh, okay.
That's right. If it's earmarked for you, you'll get it. Right? And I think we told the story. Did we tell the story about the altar of Navardok? We did tell it. Okay, so we won't repeat it. But that really brings out the point of how when the person's supposed to get the money, they'll get it without the buttering up. So now, if people would have the right perspective, who would be the sole people that they honor? He said, we would really only honor those who have the virtues that will cause Hashem to honor them. The people that Hashem honors, we want to honor also. To my shekasov, like the pasuk says, ki mechabdai achabed, those who honor me, I'll honor them. These are really the people to honor and look up to. So, okay, we'll see if we'll elaborate on this a little bit more, but the points that he's making here are very straightforward. Now, and he says, and what happens is, it's, you know, we say, avera gereris avera, one avera leads to another. So here we're saying, it's superficiality leads to superficiality. Stupidity is gereris stupidity. Why? Because this reality is created, where people feel like they should be, they want to butter up to the rich people because, you know, then maybe he'll get me a car. So that creates a situation where so what happens is that it starts with, oh, there's a wealthy person in my neighborhood. I want to be his friend. Maybe I'll benefit from that. Oh, so that starts becoming a reality. And then people start saying, hey, I want to gain all that recognition and honor. Everybody gives so much honor to the rich. And then they start, you know, I want to become one of those rich people everybody looks up to. Now he's saying, like, the truth is that it's mistake upon mistake, because they're not even really looking up to you. All they want is for you to share some with them. That's all. Like it says in the pasuk, "Kakol re'al ishmaton." Everybody likes a generous person. Everybody's his friend. So he says, what happens is that, yeah, people begin redirecting their hishtadlus on both levels. The hishtadlus in currying favor with this wealthy person instead of with Hashem, putting their energies into honoring this person instead of finding the places where I should really be directing my honor. And then the next level of the hishtadlus to actually become that wealthy person. And all this comes at the expense of the areas where we really should be investing our energies. So, people, this ends up becoming a whole pursuit. It can either be the pursuit of getting the money, or it can mamash be a whole pursuit with all the emotional energies invested in holding on to that friendship with the rich person who I hope will give me something. Right?
Okay.
And instead, their energies are used up and they're not putting in the energies, they're not investing the energies to where they should be putting them in. The ishtadlus to meet our responsibilities toward Hashem. Putting the energies into currying favor with Him, into analyzing everything He's been doing for you, and to try to get close to Him so that He'll give you benefits. There you can be trying to butter up and to curry favor. And that would actually get you closer to what you're aiming for. If that's what you're busy doing, trying to butter up Hashem so that He'll give you things, you're likely to succeed. Do that, right? Like the Torah says, Hashem does generously dole out those benefits to the people who are trying to get close to Him. Flatter Hashem, right? Wealth and prestige, it's yours to give out. Okay. I just want to, you know, this may be a little bit of a tangent, but I do want to. A word on kavod, on the whole concept of kavod. Kavod is a little bit of a confusing concept because we hear about, you know, that kavod is a negative thing, right? We shouldn't be seeking kavod. We shouldn't be pursuing kavod. Kavod is one big smokescreen, right? The pursuit of kavod is one of the things that drives a person out of this world. A person can waste his entire life on it and dig himself very deep in the pursuit of kavod. And like we're seeing here, it's also so open, it's really just a farce. Like the kavod is not even real. And when people are mevaza themselves, they disgrace themselves so greatly to get elected to some position that they think is going to gain them prestige, when all it is that everybody else is just looking at them and saying, it should have been me. So, but on the other hand, kavod is something that we should be, you know, rejecting. We should be repelling. But then on the other hand, we're told about how important it is to be mechabed other people. And not only that, but people's honor and people's dignity is actually a very weighty thing in halacha. And for example, we find that when it's a matter of human dignity, so various halachas, not the severe halacha, not dinim of D'oraisa, not Torah halachas, but in various situations, different dinim derabbanan, rabbinic laws can be set aside when it's a matter of preserving human dignity. There are many applications of this. So here we say, 1 minute. Why? It's better not to get that covered. It's better to be disgraced. It's all better for your rotinius. We say that you have an obligation to honor Talmid Chachamim. You have an obligation to honor your fellow. You should be mechabed other people. Why should you do that? You're just tripping them up spiritually. So we have to understand what kavod really means. Kavod really means giving things their proper weight. If we'll put it really in a nutshell, kavod means relating to things in the right perspective. Now let me explain what I mean by that. Go a little bit deep here. Bear with me, but I think we'll be able to bring it out in a very tangible, practical kind of way. Picture a box lying on the floor. You can see a box lying on the floor. Closed box. Closed brown box. You're trying to figure out, can I lift that box? Well, what do you think? What would be a reasonable guess? You see a box lying on the floor. Is it reasonable to assume that you can lift it or not? No idea. Depends what's in it, right? No way of knowing. Try to pick it up and then I'll see. So let's just stop there for a minute. Let's focus on our box. Okay. Color, you can easily see. Size, you can easily see. The weight is just as concrete a feature, but that you can't see. Now I want to note something. Kavod is related to the word kaved. Did you ever notice that in English also, when you talk about something that you should be taking seriously, you call it weighty, right? Weight is very much related to kavod, right? Something that carries weight. So now, you're looking at that box, okay, and you go, okay, you try to lift it up. What do? You go over and pick it up like this without, it doesn't budge. Doesn't budge. You didn't attribute it its proper weight. You didn't know, right? So what do you do? Okay, so now you can give it another try. Roll up your sleeves, go from under, a proper heave, doesn't budge. Okay, you finally get the picture. So what do? You call four chevra, right? And they all come together now. You take off their jackets, and they take a deep breath. Now you're attributing it its proper weight. You're relating to it with its due weight. You're giving it its proper covet. Well, here, you don't have to be mechaber a box. Nobody will tell you that. After all the things we say about Moshe not hitting the no one's going to tell you you have to be mechaber the box. But I'm trying to get to the point, and that is that here we're seeing that attributing something its proper weightiness in a very, very physical sense is about, this is something that I can't necessarily see with my eyes, but once I understand that it's there, I relate to it. So now, talk about the person standing on the outside. He sees four guys walking over, and right, they roll up their sleeves, and they all bend down, and they catch onto it, and they go, one, two, three, and they give a heave, and they manage to lift it up, and you see them like struggling under the weight. This thing has its proper, it's being attributed its proper weight now. I can see that this is something weighty. I can see that it's something heavy. How do I see that? I see it because of the fact that these guys are standing there like this, right, that it's four of them. That's how I see it. I still don't see it in the box. I still don't see it in the box. People can make a show of picking up a box like that. I don't see it in the box. But how do I see it? I see it because the four people around it are treating it with its due weight. Everybody with me, meanwhile? Now, let's take it the next step. Let's take it to the next step. Here you have an elderly man, small, shriveled, well ahead in his years, hard for him to walk properly. He's kind of walking with a bit of a, and his words are slurred. His words are slurred. And you're looking at him, not a very impressive sight. But now let's see, you see around him is a whole group of Talmidim who are like relating with awe, right? They're relating with awe. And you see that people are almost afraid to say a word to him. And if you just start saying something, everybody leans forward like this. You start understanding, I don't know who this person is, but he's somebody big, right? So it's again, we're talking about there's a certain inner value there that's not apparent to the eye. How do you see that it's there? You see that it's there because of the way people are relating to him externally. Okay, everybody with me on this? Mm-hmm. Now, he's also been given his proper weight because of the way the people around him are relating to him, because of the external aspects. Now, again, you can take a rock and relate to it with awe. But this is an example of, right, you look at it, you don't see the value with your eyes, but you see it from the way it's related to.
Person. He doesn't look like anything so special, but everyone's following him, hanging on every word because they want to be the next owner of Tesla or whatever it is. You know?
This is where we're getting. The concept of covet is to attribute something its proper weight. Okay? Another example, a Sefer Torah. Take a Sefer Torah. We all, on the contrary, we're all under the effect of the cover we give a Sefer Torah. But if you come mamish from a vacuum, okay, let's say you're coming from a complete vacuum, a parchment is not something pretty. And again, you already have that Judaic association. So but if you really try to think back, right, completely from a vacuum, parchment, our printing paper looks much better, more sophisticated, right? Parchment is not something pretty, right? We have a parchment, it's written on, it's rolled up right now. Without the association, you don't see something so impressive now. But this is a Sefer Torah. It carries immense kedusha. So what do? We give it kavod. How? We externally attribute it the weight it deserves. How do we do that? We put on a beautiful mantle. And then we put it away in a beautiful, ornate Aron Kodesh. Now, the Aron Kodesh and the mantle are not the Sefer Torah, but they are the ones that are demonstrating the weight of the Sefer Torah. How? Again, it's the external means bringing out the inner value. So, everybody with me on this point? In the case of the Talmud Chacham, it's the external means bringing out the inner value. In the case of the box, It's the external activity that brings out, makes its way to parent. In the case of the Sefer Torah, same thing, right? Also with Sefer Kodesh, we make them a beautiful cover. The cover is not the same, is not the Sefer, but that's what brings out its cover, brings out its weight. Question.
So, Hashem tells us that we need to give cover to all of Israel. And not everybody has this experience of being seen, their weightiness being seen by the people around them or by the cover that they're given. So I'm asking a question and just making an assumption at the same time that we have to be the one to surround them with cover. Like, how does that work?
Oh, so this is really where we're going. So now let's distinguish, and then we're going to get to your point, which is actually a very, very powerful point. Now, let's go to that celebrity, okay? A low life person with absolutely no virtue to them, except for the fact that they have a good look and a good voice, and everybody around them is, you know, panting breathlessly at the opportunity to get close to them and get a disdainful look, right? So what's going on? They're also giving a lot of cover. They're bringing, but what are they doing? They're bringing out a lot of value where there is none, right? This is mamish-like, people making a show. It's a box, there's nothing in it. It's a cardboard box. But there's a play, okay? Four guys are going around and they're making a show of lifting it up. I could lift it like this and I can knock it over like this, but we're making a show of giving it all that cover. That is empty covered. It's covered where there isn't really any weight. You could do that. You can put an awful lot, you can contribute a lot of weight to something that has no weight. This is where we're drawing the line. Covered is immensely important, meaning to attribute the proper weight to something that it deserves, be it a person, or be it an inanimate object, or be it Hashem. Covered becomes dangerous when it starts becoming something that I'm attributing an awful lot of weight to a place where there is absolutely no weight, or I'm attributing much more weight to something that's pretty lightweight. So now how do we come to this issue of being mechabed others? So the truth is that we have to appreciate, we talked about a Talmud Chacham, but the truth is, and this is really the whole concept of Kavod HaBrias, talk about another Jew, talk about another person, and we're talking about something that is immensely Kaddish. The person that you're coming up against, the person that you are coming into, it's like, Rabbi Avigdor Miller once expressed this, the truth is that if you ever have the experience of encountering a Jew, you should be like trembling. Just it's going to get a little complicated because you're going to, right? you can't be like trembling and falling apart your whole life. Baruch Hashem, we live surrounded by Jews and we're encountering Jews all the time. And the truth is, as humans, we just don't have the capacity to relate to them as they should. But you know what? This might actually be a benefit of, don't do this, but if you live in a some hick town somewhere where there's one other Jew that you encounter once a week, and now when you know you're actually going to encounter that Jew, you prepare yourself duly. You know, maybe go to the mikveh first. Maybe you'll really focus on the greatness of this person. Be ready. I know he's going to be coming down the block now, and I'm standing there ready for the experience of encountering a Tzelem Elokim, out of encountering a son of Hashem, a child of Hashem, beloved child of Hashem. This is someone who Hashem loves. It's mind-boggling. You're awe-stricken. And you know what? That's actually the reality. That's actually the reality. The problem is not that it's not real. They're not really that important to all the 50 people around me. The problem is that I'm too small. I just don't have the capacity to do it. But here is where we're enjoined to do what we can. Kavod HaBrias, Kavod Chavercha, is to relate to the fact that, no, this is not just the annoying face, the irritating voice that I, you know, that I'm used to seeing. But it's also a lot more than the pleasant person that I'm used to interacting. I'm interacting with something immensely important. And to whatever extent I can, I want to be attributing it that way. This is the concept of covet. So it comes out very clear. There is covet that is of paramount importance. And I'll say the truth is that this is, we can say to a large extent, this is the challenge of the Jew living in this world. It's all about covet. Vayit Shamayim, right? The covet of Hashem. Hashem is concealed. You don't see Hashem in this world with the open eye. We want to bring it out. If I I'm tempted with an Aveira. Okay, I'm tempted with an Aveira. I see in front of me an insect that just looks so tantalizing. I really, really want to eat it, right? But it's usur, right? So as it looks really good and I'm tempted, but I can't do it. I can't do it. Why can't I do it? Because you might not see Hashem here. Doesn't meet the eye, but I'm attributing him that weight by, I can't do this. Right? So it's something very, very tantalizing, something very, very tempting, something that's really provoking me, but I'm holding back. Why? I'm bringing out that there's something very weighty here. What? Hashem. The Jew lives in a world of, in a material world, the material world. What you see, the tangible things that you see don't necessarily reflect their inner value. But our whole life, we're busy dealing with the inner value of things. Averis, mitzvahs, items of Kedusha, people, Hashem, right? So it's all about us bringing out that inner value through our actions, through the way we, it's putting ourselves in the real sphere of reality, in a sphere of reality where what the rest of the world calls a celebrity because they have tons of money and because they're famous and because they're good actors, whatever it is, means nothing to me. I'm taking all the weight out of that because really it has no weight. But when it comes to some element of Kedusha, a Talmud Chacham, a Tzaddik, a Jew, right? That's where my behavior shows the inner value of this person. That really is how I'm putting myself in the real reality. I'm living in the real reality. I'm really living in a reality where this carries weight, where this doesn't carry weight. And I'm living it in an external kind of way. I'm bringing it out. You don't see it on the surface, but I'm bringing it out. I'm bringing it out when I kiss and say for Torah. I'm bringing it out when I make sure that a siddur goes on top of whatever other books might be on the table. And I don't put a different book on top of the siddur. I'm bringing it out. Like we've been discussing, I bring it out in the way I relate to other people. And I bring it out even in the things that I refrain from doing or that I do because Hashem is something very weighty. I'm giving that cover to Hashem. You don't see that there's Hashem here. But you do see me refraining from doing something I'd like to do because of Hashem. And then there's empty covered. There's empty covered where I go around and demand, I want you to relate to me as though I'm who knows what. Now the truth is I am. You should relate to me that way. But the difference is, right, is it because of my true weight? If it's because of my true weight, then I'll be relating to you the exact same way. Right? I can expect you to respect me for who I am. Who am I? I'm a Tzelem Elikim. I'm a Ben Kael Choy. But if that's my weight, then I have to be relating to you with the same weight. But if I expect to be above everybody else, then obviously it's for something that really carries no weight. Right? With me on this?
It happens if somebody, I see this with children, that they, you know, they kind of like a hero worship to anybody. And it's the wrong thing to do. It's them only. So this is down our team, you know, it might be whoever, but have to teach child that not to go to the extent of honor, that their weight isn't as much as
Hashem. So this is really, it's really about having the right weight for everything. Meaning there are things that have no weight and they don't deserve any, you know, of that coven from us. There are things that have some weight and they should get that level of coven. There are things that have more weight and they should get that level of coven. There are things that have immense weight. And then there's Hashem. It's a whole, right? And that's basically what the Mishnah and others is telling us. That you have to, right, there's Kvod Kavercha, there's Kvod Rabcha, and then there's Kvod Shamayim. And we want to be Machmir, meaning in those things that do deserve our covenant, right, that's how the Mishnah says it. You should try to relate to your fellow as though he's your Rebbe. And try to relate with the covenant, your Rebbe, the way you should be relating to Hashem. And Hashem, of course, is the next level. Where we should be applying the covet, we want to be machmir. I knew somebody, I knew a chashev yid who who was interesting to me, how he was very, very particular about his kavod. He expected people to relate to him with a lot of kavod. He had very, like, there was a lot of like ceremony involved in dealing with him. Like I wasn't used to it. I didn't come from that. The people that I was exposed to didn't operate that way. And it was a little strange to me. Like it was like rules and ceremony and pomp and like, and somebody else told me, and somebody opened my eyes to this. This is a chash of a person who I had dealings with. He said, I see it comes across to you like it's a little bit like, you know, pompous, arrogant. But he said, note something. He said, usually when you talk about a Baal Gaiva, you talk about a show off. So the usual Baal Gaiva is that I'm here and you're here. And therefore, you should be, I look down at you and you should be relating to me like this. He said, but look at this person. He like opened my eyes. It was so obvious. He said, look at the way this person speaks to others. He spoke, this was a person, an older man, who spoke to young Talmidim, young Yeshiva Bachrim, with immense kavod. And he demanded it from them. This was actually a certain lesson. Right? Yes, it was a different anhaga than I was used to. This was a Rebbe who demanded a lot of kavod and gave a lot of kavod. It's actually a certain a lesson, an eye-opener. And this also explains to us why, like, you know, you see, you're supposed to give Talmid HaChachamim kavod. Aren't you messing them up? They're going to start. The truth is that a person getting kavod, it can go to a person's head. When a person is experiencing kavod, it's very important for the person to remain conscious of the fact that I'm getting this kavod because of my association with Hashem, not because I, in and of myself, am deserving of it. But whenever you machabed somebody, it's a test for them. So wouldn't it be better? A lot of Talmid HaChachamim don't want the kavod, right? They spurn it, it bothers them. Yet we give it to them anyways. And they have to deal with it. So to speak, it's their problem. If we understand kavod as like a b'nodem l'chaveiro thing, so he doesn't want it. You know? But you know what? Kavod is very much about us. It's about us living in the right place. In my world, this person is on a pedestal. In my world, this is something that's very important. It's not about giving the other person the good feeling. That's Bein Adam Machaveri. That's another subject, and that's true too. But when we're talking about being Mechabed, just as we understand that being Mechabed is Siddur, not letting it fall on the floor, it's not Bein Adam Machaveri. It's not that we don't want the Siddur to get hurt. What's it about? It's about that it's my duty to ensure that something that represents the way that Hashem is given its due weight. So in my world, in order for me to be living in the right world, I want, it's a necessity for me. This poor Talmud Chacham, it's part of his duty to the people around him is that he has to give them the opportunity to use him as the example of what's the symbol of Avodas Hashem in my life. And I give him that kavod whether he likes it or not. And he has to deal with it. But for me, it's because I want to be living in the right place. I need to be living in the right place. This is also, so the Rishonim explained, concept of going to a Talmud Chacham, a tzaddik, for a bracha. How does that fit into the system of Avodas Hashem? I mean, you have an issue, take it to Hashem, you know, daven to Hashem. What is the value? Where does that come in? So what will you say? Okay, nice, feel some more powerful. That's true, but that really makes it into a material endeavor, meaning I want the refuah. My tefillah might not get me the refuah. His feelings are more powerful, so I'm going to him. So you call it a hishtadlis, but does it have value in Avodas Hashem? Does it enhance your Avodas Hashem that when you have an issue, you're going to a tzaddik or a Talmud Chacham for a bracha? If we understand what we're discussing, this is what the Rishonim say, it's something very amazing. They say, if you have a problem and you see the answer in, you see the solution in, someone who's more connected to Hashem is able to help me with that. So you're living in that reality where bracha comes from closeness to Hashem. So yes, it's actually the concept that a Talmud Chacham, that a tzaddik, can help you get the bracha you need. If you live in that reality, it has to be part of a broader picture, not just like an amulet. You know, you can go different directions. You can get one of these trinkets, or you can go to a big Talmud Chacham for a bracha. It depends which is more convenient, which is cheaper, right? So then again, it's purely material. But if it's about, I create a reality where in my home, my children are going to be looking up to that because they know when we have a problem, where do we go? to a person who's dedicated to Avodas Hashem, oh, my children really learn to appreciate that that's what's high. And I say my children, I also mean the little child in us. If that's our reality, it's something that we're impressing on our minds all the time. And automatically it creates the value system is enhanced. The value system becomes something real and tangible, not just philosophical. We say that Avodas Hashem is the greatest thing in the world. That's something very real in my life. Because when I need a Yeshua, I go to a symbol of Avodas Hashem. That's the value and this is also why we want to not give it the cover where it shouldn't be going. It's all about living in the right place, living in the right reality. Yes, this definitely ties into that issue also. All these different areas where our actions are showing, I see bracha, I see a source of bracha, of hatzlacha, in greatness in Torah, in being close to Hashem. Ultimately, what I'm saying is, Hashem is the source of bracha. So it's about living in the right place. So this is just, we'll call that a comment on coven. That's what a comment is. What's a speech? But okay.
Okay, so different people would consider something respectful. A lot of people would be respectful. If somebody starts talking to a person in third person, we're sitting to this conversation right now, they shouldn't really think that that is for them. But it's not according to the recipient, because you said we're working on ourselves and how we view.
That's right. That's right. It's not according to the recipient. Oh, I froze again. It's not according to the recipient. It is very much more about our own experience of giving that coven. Now, having said that, there's still a little room for consideration. Meaning, we can draw, I want to give the coven, but you know, we can stop short before making the person feel terribly uncomfortable. Right? I know there is somebody that I'm close with that really can't handle me speaking to him in the third person. So it's a family member who I consider a Rebbe, and he can't handle it. Now, when I really saw that I really can't handle it, like, just like, you know, kind of like shuts down. So I talked to him in the second person. I say, you, even though I really, even though it's regular, I don't feel comfortable with it, but I do it anyways. Because there's also an aspect of Ritzayin Hashem Adam Hukvoide. When you know in a very specific way that this person really wants something, that's another way of being mechabed, right? Being mechabed the person by not making them uncomfortable. Okay, that's already a fine line. That's already the technical angle of it. What's that? So the natural way we translate it is honor, respect. In the context of our conversation, I would say it as this is more of a I call it a Lumdisha translation rather than a straight translation, attributing proper weight. Right? We'll call that the philosophical translation. The literary translation will be honor/respect. Yeah. Right. Actually, let me draw a line there. Honor and respect. Caring for the person's feelings is already not really part of the discussion. It's another thing. The two come together. Often, if you're going to talk disrespectful to a person, you won't be mechaved them. You'll also be hurting their feelings. That you shouldn't do to anybody, regardless of the covet aspect. So that's why I'm saying, we mechaved people not because of Ben Adam L'Chaveray, although there also is the Ben Adam L'Chaveray consideration. Both come together. But let's just be conscious of the fact that a lot of the concept of covet is about me wanting to live in the right place, me needing to live in the right place. Okay?
But sometimes you have to stand on your covenant in order to get something.
Oh, that's a very good point. You're saying sometimes you have to stand on your covenant in order to get someplace. And the truth is that that's right. A parent, a Rebbe, will sometimes have to stand on their covenant. But you know what? I'm going to give this a subtle concept, but it can make a world of a difference. when a parent is asserting their covet, or Rebbe is asserting their covet, if in the parent's mind it can be coming from a place of, there's a big difference, and you also see this in the effectiveness of the chinuch. You have to know who's boss, and that's me. Very often that will backfire. But if the person has the mentality of, whether I like it or not, I represent, I could say Hashem, say Torah values, etc., to this child. This child is meant to get their instruction from me. So now I am operating in the capacity of Rabbi, his teacher, his conduit of everything that Hashem wants to get to him. In that sense, yes, he does have to look up to me. The difference is going to be if the kid doesn't give me the covet. Do I respond to a blow to my ego, which is going to be one kind of response? Or am I responding to this kid hasn't quite gotten yet the concept of covet? It's going to be a very different kind of response. The truth is, I can provide a very beautiful illustration of this. Maybe we'll do that next week. Let's do it briefly now. The truth is that this was I had this course of translating the Chinuch Sefer of Rabbi Chiel Jacobson, who's known in the Israeli Chinuch circles as probably one of the top authorities. And on a personal level, I consider him a Rebbe of mine. I translated his book, and this is a maisa that he relates in that book. This is a boy who was very, what we call, behaviorally challenged, and he went to a yeshiva for behaviorally challenged kids, and the kids who are at risk, whatever, all the whatever you call it, etc. And he said he came into this yeshiva, and he said the whole concept of discipline took on a whole different form. So when the Rebbe walked in, so one kid wouldn't stand up. So the Rebbe looked at him and said, "You know, you have to stand up because I don't want to stand up for you. So it doesn't have to do with you. It doesn't have to do with me. The Talmud stands up for the Rebbe. Because I don't want to stand up for you." So the Rebbe just went on and taught. The next day again, he didn't stand up. He said, "You know, it's a problem. Like, the kid can't go through life without standing up for his Rebbe." In a very detached kind of way. So it was like he was conveying information. It was like, "You're going to stand up for me? Right? Me. This is me, and he's not standing up. I got to show him who's boss." Of course, that's getting desperate. That, like, for a few days, the Rebbe did not push it. He just kind of like, almost like in a technical, like in a detached kind of way, he says, "There's a problem here because Talmidim are supposed to stand for their Rebbe." And this happened like the next day. And then again, you know, the next day the Rebbe walked in and said, "There's something wrong with not standing up for a Rebbe." And this kid described, this wasn't him, you know, he was just watching the process, said how each day the kid, like he said, in where he came from, in his old classic cheder, this would turn into a power struggle. The Rebbe would start yelling and screaming. The kid would win. All the kids would admire him, right? He would admire the winner of power struggle. But he said there wasn't the power struggle. It was the kid like doing something, and the Rebbe kind of conveying that, there's a problem with that. All right, let's move on. So he said, what he saw, it was fascinating to see that with time, the kid was just growing more and more uncomfortable. Each time it ended, the kid wasn't gloating because he didn't win anybody. It was more like he was kind of like fidgeting. So like after the third or fourth day, the kid kind of like half stood, kind of, right? And then also the Rebbe didn't say anything. So the fifth day, he already stood like everybody else. And again, then the Rebbe didn't say anything. So on the way out of class, the Rebbe said, "Kol hakavod." Simple statement. You know, that was it. A quiet kol hakavod. And he said the kid like kind of like, you know, gave like a sheepish kind of smile. That's the difference. When it comes to asserting covet, to be able to do it as, I don't need this. I shouldn't need it. But I now represent the concept of authority to this kid. This kid, later in life, after he's not under my jurisdiction, is going to have to respect authority. He's going to have to respect his Rosh Hashiva. He's going to have to respect Hashem. Right now, I'm that representative. So I have to convey that to him. It comes across very differently. And that's what we would say when it comes to parents also. It's a very, very fine, delicate art of being able to assert the authority in that kind of way. It really deserves more elaboration, but that's a regalachas. Yeah. A good day.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Welcome to you.